The following is a recording for Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise on Tuesday, November 11th, 2014 at 8 a.m. Central Time. This is the IFS Third Quarter 2014 conference call. Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services Third Quarter 2014 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Bora of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please begin.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. On today's call, Intercorp Financial Services will discuss its third quarter 2014 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, and Mr. Bruno Ferreccio, Chief Financial Officer of Inteligo. They will be discussing the results that were distributed this morning. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you didn't receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp's Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Okay. Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services Third Quarter 2014 Earnings Presentation. Today, we are introducing some new concepts to our conference call as we will be discussing IFRS figures, including Inteligo. As you are aware, on October 9th, we announced a public filing with the SEC. Information about the offering can be obtained in the press release. In such filing, we disclose full year 2012, 2013, and June 2014 IFRS figures. As such, we have prepared for the first time financial statements in accordance to IFRS as issued by the ISSB. IFRS has previously prepared consolidated financial statements in accordance with accounting principles prescribed by the SDS in local GAAP. Today, in addition to third quarter results, we will present cumulative 9 month results for IFRS and three segments and a bridge to local GAAP results for Interbank and Interseguro. We are also including Inteligo Group's results. Going forward, Interbank and Interseguro will continue to prepare and file standalone financials in local GAAP as required by the SDS. IFS and its three segments, banking, insurance, and wealth management, will report quarterly under IFRS. On page 5, you can see the detailed explanation of the main items which are impacted by IFRS. I will now only comment on the main impacts for IFS. The first item is allowances for loan losses, which mainly impacts Interbank. In the future, we will have higher or lower provisioning levels compared to local GAAP, depending on the mix of products and businesses. Second is the adjustment of technical reserves, mainly impacting Interseguro, which will be more volatile under IFRS as it depends on the interest rate of the fixed income portfolio. Third, financial instruments, which support technical reserves, are considered available for sale, thus impacting equity. As fair value is not registered in the P&L, there is a distortion embedded in the P&L which creates volatility in Interseguro's results, as the negative result of increased technical reserves is recorded in the P&L, but the positive effect coming from the returns of the investment coming from the new premium is recorded in equity. Finally, investment property mainly impacting Interseguro, as real estate property is recorded at its fair value, which generates some volatility and impact from future transfers will be more limited. An important element to take into account is that going forward, IFS dividends from Interbank and Interseguro will continue to be determined and paid under SDS GAAP, while dividends from Inteligo will continue to be calculated under IFRS. On page 6, as you are aware, on July 18th, we announced the incorporation of Inteligo Group to IFS, which was effective on August 1st, 2014. This transaction was approved by IFS Board of Directors, reviewed by an independent committee of IFS Board, and supported by a fairness opinion from PricewaterhouseCoopers. This transaction entails the contribution of 100% of Intercorp shares in Inteligo to IFS in exchange for 19.5 million IFS shares. On page 7, you can see some key figures of Inteligo Group as of June 2014 and September 2014, which show a very positive trend in the 9 months of 2014 when compared to the 9 months of 2013. Some of the key highlights include a 20% growth in asset under management plus deposits, 26.1% growth in total revenues and 21.5% in fee income, and an annualized ROE for the first 9 months of 2014 of 33.2%. Inteligo Group contribution to IFS was valued at $637.5 million with an implied multiple of 14.7 times LTM June for 2014 net profit and 13.6 times with LTM September 2014 figures, in line with international public comparable for wealth management business. We will continue now with a discussion of the third quarter results and 9 month results for IFS under IFRS. Please turn to page 9. At Intercorp Financial Services, third quarter 2014 net profit was 275 million soles, a 19.7% increase year on year and a 2.3% decrease quarter on quarter. The quarterly decrease in net profit was mainly driven by lower other income in the third quarter of 2014 when compared to a strong result in the second quarter, specifically at Interseguro and Inteligo, while the year-on-year increase was mainly driven by strong performances at Interbank and Inteligo. The annualized return on adjusted equity was 28.2%. At Interbank, net profit in the third quarter was a record quarter for the bank, with 187.3 million, a 5.9% increase quarter on quarter, and an 18.1% increase year on year. Performing loans expanded 1.2% quarter on quarter and 15.1% year on year, driven by growth in consumer loans. NIM improved 30 basis points quarter on quarter and year on year from 6.1% to 6.4% in the third quarter of this year. Annualized return on adjusted equity was 25.2%. At Interseguro, net profit was 69.4 million in the third quarter, a decrease of 14% quarter on quarter and 4.7% year on year. The decrease in the quarterly results was mainly driven by a significant real estate appreciation recognized in the second quarter and lower profit from sale of investment property in the third quarter. The year-on-year decrease was mainly due to a low other income in the third quarter of 2014 when compared to strong results in the third quarter of 2013. Annuity sales increased 25.3% year-on-year, supported by market expansion and gains in market share. Annualized return on adjusted equity was 52.6%. At Inteligo, net profit was 28.1 million in the third quarter, a decrease of 33.9% quarter-on-quarter, but an increase of 106% year-on-year. The quarterly decrease was mainly due to a lower other income in the third quarter when compared to the second quarter results. Asset under management plus deposits increased 12.4% on a quarterly basis and 20% year-on-year. The annualized return on adjusted equity was 23.2%. On page number 10, you can see a summary of the key indicators for IFS. Net interest and similar income grew 4.8% on a quarterly basis and 13.1% year-on-year, mainly driven by strong results at Interbank. NIM improved 20 basis points on a quarterly basis and 10 basis points on a yearly basis to 6.0%. Asset quality remains strong with a slight increase in PDLs of 10 basis points quarter-on-quarter. Insurance metrics remain very strong. Efficiency ratio shows an improvement year-on-year of 300 basis points, down to 41.1%. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 15.8%. On page 11, you can see the breakdown of IFS quarterly profits by segment. Again, third quarter 2014 net profit was 275 million, a 19.7% increase year-on-year and a 2.3% decrease quarter-on-quarter. The quarterly decrease in the net profit was mainly driven by lower other income in the third quarter when compared to a strong result in the second quarter in Interseguro and Italy, was previously mentioned, while the year-on-year increase was mainly driven by strong performances at Interbank and Inteligo. Annualized ROE for IFS was 28.2%. On page number 12, we are presenting a quick overview of the key indicators for the cumulative 9 months ended September 30, 2014, and its comparison to the same figure of the previous year. Some key highlights include ISS net profit was 691.3 million for the first 9 months of 2014, a 17.3% decrease year on year. The year-on-year decrease was explained by a 273.5 million increase in the adjustment of technical reserves due to changes in the discount rate, which negatively impacted Interseguro's net profit. Excluding such effect, IFS net profit increased 2.5% year-on-year. Net interest and similar income grew 15.7% year-on-year, mainly driven by strong results of Interbank, the same as in fee income, which rose 8% compared to a decline of 7.4% in 2013, which was driven at the time by the new transparency law, which prohibited banks from charging certain fees on credit cards. The annualized ROE was 24.1%. Asset quality remained strong with a slight decrease in PDL of 20 basis points year on year. Insurance results show strong volatility despite the strong growth of net premiums of 25.2%, mainly due to an unusually low adjustment of technical reserves during 2013 as a result of an increase in the discount rate using the calculation. Efficiency ratio remains relatively stable at 42.9% when excluding the impact of the discount rate in the calculation of the technical reserve. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 15.8%. On page 13, you can see the 9 month figures by segment. At Interbank, net profit increased 12.5% year-on-year, mainly due to a 17.5% growth in net interest and similar income and a 7.2% growth in fee income from financial services. Loans and deposits grew 22.9% and 15.1% year-on-year, respectively. The annualized ROE for Interbank was 24.4%. At Interseguro, net profit decreased 66.1% year-on-year, mainly as a result of the 273.5 million increase in the adjustment of technical reserves, as previously mentioned, due to an unusually low adjustment of technical reserves in 2013. Net premiums grew 25.2% year-on-year. The annualized ROE was 25.2%. At Inteligo, net profit increased 28.1% year-on-year, mainly due to a 28.7% growth in interest income plus other income and a 21.5% growth in fee income. Assets under management plus deposits grew 20% year-on-year. The annualized ROE for Inteligo was 33.2%. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS by segment. On page 15, we will start with Interbank. Interbank's profit reached 187.3 million in the third quarter, a 10.6 million increase quarter on quarter and 28.8 million increase year on year. The quarterly increase was mainly due to a 20 million decline in provision for loan losses and a 14.3 million growth in net interest and similar income factors, which were partially offset by a 22.4 million increase in other expenses. The annual growth in profits in the third quarter was due to a 60 million increase in net interest and similar income, a 14.5 million increase in other income, which were partially offset by 21.7 million increase in provision for loan losses and an 18.9 million increase in other expenses. Interbank's ROE was 25.2% in the third quarter, slightly lower than the 25.4% reported in the second quarter, but well above the 24.6% registered in the third quarter of the previous year. On page 16, you can see a comparison of Interbank's IFRS results with local GAAP results. When looking at the local GAAP figures for the bank, net profit grew 17% quarter on quarter and 22% year on year. The main differences between the IFRS net profit of 187 million soles and the local GAAP net profit of 192 million are as follows. First, a reclassification of fees from credit cards from net interest margin to fee income. Second, less fee income from financial advisory as they are deferred under IFRS. Third, additional provisions for loan losses due to the strong growth in our retail portfolio. And finally, there are some positive effects, which include the reversal of generic provisions for 5 million soles, 2 million less depreciation and 9 million soles less taxes. On page 17, interbank performing loans grew 1.2% quarter on quarter as a result of 4.2% increase in retail loans, which was partially offset by a 1.6% reduction in commercial loans. Retail loans increased due to strong growth of 7.2% in credit cards, 3.3% in other consumer loans, and 2.7% in mortgage loans. In credit cards, the third quarter was the sixth consecutive quarter of solid growth, notwithstanding the past due loan ratio in such products decreased to 3.6% in the third quarter from the 3.9% registered in the third quarter of the previous year and the 3.8% reported in the second quarter. Commercial loans slightly declined in volume, mainly driven by a decrease in medium-term loans and trade finance loans within the corporate business. Performing loans increased 15.1% on a yearly basis. Retail loans increased 17.1%, driven by growth of 30.4% in credit cards, 13.6% in other consumer loans, and 11.4% in mortgage loans. Commercial loans grew 13.2%, mainly due to increases in medium-term loans within the corporate and middle market businesses, as well as trade finance loans. On page 18, interbank funding base grew 1.3% on a quarterly basis. The growth was mainly due to increases of 6.4% in due to banks and interbank funds, and 3.9% in bonds, while the volume of deposits remained stable. The bank's total funding base increased 9.0% on a yearly basis. The increase was due to growth of 37% in bonds and 6.9% in deposits, partially offset by a 5.1% decrease in due to banks and interbank funds. The yearly growth in bonds was explained by two subordinated bond issuances, the first for $50 million in December 2013, placed in the local market, and the second for $300 million in March this year, placed in the international market. Such increase was slightly attenuated by the maturity of a $15 million subordinated bond in October 2013. The yearly growth in deposits was attributed to increases of 14.9% in retail deposits and 8.8% in institutional deposits, which were partially offset by a decrease of 5.7% in commercial deposits. As a result, the proportion of retail deposits to total deposits increased from 38.6% in the third quarter of the previous year to 41.5% in the third quarter of this year. On page 19, provision for loan losses, net of recoveries, decreased 17.7% quarter over quarter and increased 28.7% year on year. As a result, the annualized ratio of provision expense to average loan was 1.8% in the third quarter of this year, lower than the 2.3% registered in the second quarter, but slightly higher than the 1.7% reported in the third quarter of the previous year. The lower provision expense on a quarterly basis was a result of improvements in asset quality, particularly in credit cards, which generated lower provision requirements for loan deterioration and internal alignment with other products. However, the lower provision requirement in credit cards was partially offset by higher requirements on mortgages and commercial loans. When looking at SBS figures, our PDL ratio and loan provision expense remain solid and well below the system average. Total consumer, credit cards, and commercial banking continue to show good credit quality behavior, whereas we have seen some deterioration in our mortgage portfolio and in some few commercial clients. On page 20, fee income from financial services decreased 5.7 million or 3.6% on a quarterly basis due to a 6 million decrease in maintenance and mailing of accounts, interchange fees, transfer and credit and debit card service fees, which was partially offset by a 2.8 million increase in commission from banking services. The lower credit card fees was a result of the increased number of customers migrating to online credit card account statements, which are delivered free of charge. The 9.7 million or 6.7% increase on a yearly basis in fee income from financial services was attributable to a 6.3 million increase in commission from banking services and a 5.3 million increase in fees from indirect loans. The higher commission from banking services fees was a result of higher insurance premiums sold, while the increase in fees from indirect loans was due to higher fees from letters of guarantee. Other expenses increased 7.3% on a quarterly basis and 6.1% on a yearly basis. The quarterly growth was mainly due to increases of 8.4% in administrative expenses and 9% in depreciation and amortization expenses, while salaries and employee benefits expenses remained relatively stable. The increase in administrative expenses was due to higher expenses for third-party services provided to Interbank, which include miscellaneous services and advertisement expenses. The annual growth in other expenses was a result of increases of 8% in administrative expenses, 3.3% in salaries and employee benefits, and 13.9% in depreciation and amortization expenses. The increase in administrative expenses was related to higher property leases, miscellaneous services, and maintenance expenses. The increase in salaries and employee benefit expenses was related to a higher average headcount in the third quarter compared to the same period of the previous year. The efficiency ratio was 46.6% in the third quarter, a strong improvement when compared to the 49.8% registered in the same quarter of the previous year. On page 21, to summarize Interbank's results, the bank registered a strong quarter with net profit growing 5.9% on a quarterly basis and 18.1% on a yearly basis, with a sustained annualized high ROE of 25.2%. On page 22, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 15.8% in the third quarter, remained stable quarter on quarter, and was above the 13.7% reported in the third quarter of 2013. The annual increase in the capital ratio was due to a 40.3% growth in regulatory capital, partially offset by a 21.3% increase in risk-weighted assets. The year-on-year increase in regulatory capital was mainly a result of the two subordinated bond issuances for $50 million and $300 million, as previously mentioned. As of the third quarter of 2014, Interbank's capital ratio of 15.8% was 400 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio, established at 11.8%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.8% as of the third quarter. Please turn to the following page to discuss Interseguro's results. On page 24, Interseguro's profit in the third quarter was $69.4 million, a decrease of $11.3 million quarter-on-quarter and $3.4 million year-on-year. The annualized return on adjusted equity for the third quarter was 52.6%, below the 74.3% reported in the second quarter and stable compared to the ROE registered in the third quarter of the previous year. The quarterly decline in profits was mainly due to a decrease of $35.4 million in other income, a loss of $6.9 million in translation results, and a decrease of $4.4 million in net interest and similar income, partially offset by an increase of $33.9 million in total premiums earned less claims and benefits. The year-on-year decline was mainly due to a decrease of $10 million in other income, an increase of $8.9 million in other expenses, and a loss of $4.8 million in translation results, partially offset by increases of $18.9 million in total premium earned less claims and benefits, and $1.7 million in net interest and similar income. On page 25, you can see a comparison to local GAAP results. When looking at the local GAAP figures for Interseguro, Interseguro's net profit grows 100% quarter-on-quarter and more than 1,000% on a yearly basis. The main differences between IFRS net profit of $69 million and the local GAAP net profit of 118 million soles are as follows. First, a lower adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS of 66 million soles. And second, a lower gain on the sale of real estate investment of 97 million soles, as they are already at fair value under IFRS. On page 26, Interseguro's total premiums earned less claims and benefits reached $47.1 million in the third quarter, an increase of $33.9 million quarter-on-quarter and $18.9 million year-on-year. The quarterly increase was explained by a reduction of $54.7 million in adjustment of technical reserves, partially offset by an increase of $11.8 million in net claims and benefits incurred and a decrease of $8.9 million in net premiums. The yearly growth was explained by an increase of 28.6 million in net premiums, partially offset by increases of 7.4 million in adjustment of technical reserves and 2.2 million in net claims and benefits incurred. Net premiums in the third quarter were 168.1 million, a decrease of 8.9 million quarter on quarter and an increase of 28.6 million on a yearly basis. The quarterly decline was mainly due to decreases of 9 million in annuities and 1.4 million in retail insurance, partially offset by an increase of 1.4 million in individual life. The decrease in annuities was due to a market contraction of 2.5% and market share loss of 120 basis points. The decrease in retail insurance was driven by a reduction in car protection, partially offset by higher premiums in credit life insurance. The yearly growth in net premiums was mainly attributable to higher sales in annuities and retail insurance. The increase in annuities was achieved by Interseguro's leadership position in a market that increased 30% on an annual basis. The increase in retail insurance was due to higher premiums in credit life insurance in line with overall growth of insured credits as well as increased prices. On page 27, Interseguro's investment portfolio grew 5.1% quarter on quarter and 20.1% on a yearly basis. The result from investment was 6.5% below the 10.6% registered during the second quarter and the 9.2% registered during the third quarter of the previous year. The quarterly decline in the return on investment was mainly due to, on the net interest income side, a decrease in interest on investments available for sale, driven by a 20 basis point reduction in the nominal average rate of Interseguro investment portfolio, partially offset by a 7.3% increase in the average volume. On the other income side, the quarterly decline was mainly due to decreases of 13.3 million in valuation gains from investment property, 12.9 million in profit from sale of investment property, and 10 million in net gain of sale of securities. The decrease in valuation gain from the investment property was due to a significant real estate appreciation recognized in the second quarter as real estate developments in Lima and the mid-east of the country progressed and a development in the north of Peru was finished. The decrease in profit from sale of investment property was driven by the sale in the second quarter of a piece of land which had a high commercial value. The year-on-year decline in other income was largely explained by a decrease of 22.3 million in valuation gain from investment property, partially offset by increases of 6.7 million in net gain on sale of securities and 3.5 million in net trading income. Valuation gain from investment property decreased as certain real estate investments in Lima were sold by the end of 2013. The increase in net gain on sale of security was due to higher gains in bonds and equity. The increase in net trading income was driven by a loss of 1.8 million recognized in the third quarter related to a currency forward position that resulted from the depreciation of the neosol against the U.S. dollar, whereas in the third quarter of this year, despite further currency depreciation, a gain of 1.9 million was recognized due to the renegotiated contracts. On page 29, we will start with the discussion of Inteligo Group's results. Inteligo's net interest and similar income for the third quarter was 13.5 million, decreasing 2.2 million, 14.3% on a quarterly basis, and 1.7 million, or 11.4% on a yearly basis. The quarterly decrease is mainly attributable to lower interest on investment available for sale. Similarly, the yearly decrease was mainly due to lower interest on available for sale investments as a result of an 18.8% decrease in the average volume of Inteligo's investment portfolio. This was partially offset by an increase in interest on loans as a result of an increase in the average volume of Inteligo loan portfolio. Fee income results from financial services reached 27.2 million in the third quarter, a 2.2 million or 8.7% increase on a quarterly basis, and a 47.3% increase on a yearly basis, attributable to increased brokerage and custody revenues on Inteligo SAP and fund management fees from Inteligo Bank as a consequence of a 22% increase in the asset under management. Inteligo's other income for the third quarter was 5 million, decreasing 19.4 million compared to the previous quarter. This result is mainly explained by lower income on net trading gains as mark-to-market valuation of securities held for trading increased strongly in the second quarter of 2014. On a yearly basis, other income increased by $9.5 million in the third quarter of 2014 because of higher net gains on sale of securities. Other expenses for the third quarter reached $18.1 million, a $4.5 million or 19.9% decrease quarter on quarter and a $1.5 million increase year on year. The quarterly result is explained by a one-time of $6.9 million impairment loss on an available-for-sale investment during the second quarter, while the year-on-year increase is mainly explained by higher third-party-related services. Net profit for the third quarter reached $28.1 million, a decrease of $14.5 million on a quarterly basis, and an increase of $14.5 million or 106.1% on a yearly basis. Inteligo's ROE for the third quarter stood at 23.2% compared to the 34.2% of the second quarter and well above the 13.2% of the third quarter of the previous year. On page 30, all in all, it was a very solid quarter for Inteligo in terms of client activity, with year-on-year growth in asset under management plus deposits of 20% and of 20% in loans, allowing us to generate higher fees from our client-related business on a quarterly basis and on a yearly basis, which resulted in 106.1% growth in net profit. To finalize the presentation, on page 32, we concluded IFS registered solid three-quarter 2014 results with strong operating performance in all three segments with sound asset quality and high profitability levels. At Interbank, we have a 15.1% year-on-year growth in performing loans and 20.9% growth in consumer loans, 14.9% year-on-year growth in retail deposits, 2.0% TDL ratio versus a system average of 2.4%. At Interseguro, we have net premiums growing at 20.4% on a yearly basis and growth in annuities of 25.3%. And in the investment portfolio is growing at 20.1% on a yearly basis. Inteligo has a 20% year-on-year growth in assets under management plus deposits and a 47.3% year-on-year growth in fees. IFS maintains high profitability with a 19.7% yearly growth in net profit, a 28.2% annualized ROE for IFS, and 4.7% year-on-year decrease in the net profit of Interseguro, 18.1% yearly growth in net profit at Interbank, and 106.1% yearly growth at Inteligo. Now, we welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you, ma'am. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key, that is star one, on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, please press star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Marcelo Telles from Credit Suisse.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the results. I have two questions. The first one, in a more specific question, we saw an increase in impactful loans in the medium-sized companies portfolio. I know your PDR ratio is definitely much lower than the system, but do you think this is a trend you would expect to continue, you know, in the coming quarters? And the other question is a more broad question. I mean, how do you see the, you know, says lower economic growth, you know, in Peru affecting your growth in your loan portfolio? We've seen very good growth, you know, in some of the retail lines in the quarter. Do you think you can sustain that going forward? Thank you.
Good morning, Marcelo. To answer your first question related to the decrease in the commercial loans, actually, this is something we were at a high level of market share, especially in the corporate side in the second quarter. We have seen some big loans being repaid. I mean, this is also due to some companies going to the international market. But basically, we don't see this going forward because the decrease has been specifically for corporate loans, while we are still seeing increase in our mid-corporate segment and our small businesses segment. So we do not expect to see that going forward. First effect on the portfolio, no? With mortgages growing below 15%, when we were used to grow above 20%. So this is for sure a first effect. And the second portfolio where we have seen a slowdown in the growth is the small business portfolio. In that second portfolio, actually, as we have a very low market share, we have continued to grow and to gain some market share. So we expect to be able to, let's say, outpace the market growth. But of course, the pace of growth of the GDP for the next year is something that we are looking closely and that might have an impact of the growth that we are projecting for the next year.
Can you remind us what your expected GDP growth is for 2015? What are you considering in your forecast?
Loan portfolio total?
No, GDP growth.
GDP. We are considering something between 4% and 5%.
Okay, and just to follow up on the first question, actually, I was referring to the higher delinquency in the medium-sized companies portfolio. I think you can see that on page 19, we saw an increase from 2.1 to 2.4% in the delinquency rate. Of course, it's still well below the system, but do you think this is a trend that should continue going forward, or do you think we should expect some stability in that segment? Thank you.
Marcelo, I guess we have had some specific clients, no, which have had some troubles, and that's the reason of the 2.4% that you see there. Actually, the growth in that portfolio has also slowed down. We might expect a slight deterioration in that portfolio, but for sure not reaching the levels of the industry that you see there, no? But we could see a little bit more of deterioration during 2015.
Yeah, Marcelo, this is Felipe Castellano. This has been a special year for many of the medium-sized companies in our portfolio, some related to agriculture, some services for mining companies. So we do expect, as Michaela mentioned, a slight deterioration in that portfolio to continue over the next year.
Perfect. But and your outlook for overall asset quality going forward, I mean, in terms of the cost of risk, you think you can continue like more or less the same level you presented in the third quarter, or you see some sort of a potential deterioration in the overall cost of risk?
We do expect, Marcelo, a slight deterioration as the levels you can see in terms both of PDL and provision expenses is well below the system average. Now, you know, historically, we have always been either in line with the system or above the system, and this is mainly due to our focus on retail. And I think this started last year when we started to be below the system average with, as you see in the slide, now it's 1.8%, then 1.9%, 2%, and the system average is at 2.4%. So basically, we expect some slight deterioration also going forward in 2016, and hopefully still below the system.
Thanks so much for your answer, and congratulations on the results again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, we are now holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. I am showing no questions at this time. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Ms. Casillas for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for joining the conference call, and we will be talking again with the fourth quarter results and the yearly results. Goodbye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.